It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the shutdown drags on in unprecedented 5 weeks, federal workers may turn to food banks and other programs to help cover basic living needs. And this is happening straight across the country. Houston's food bank is the largest in the country, and it's seen an increase in demand at its on-site pantry where people can make appointments to eat. We're checking in on food supplies here in Wisconsin. Do you rely on Wisconsin's food share program? Have you gotten a letter saying that your March allocation of food benefits is $0? Have you been making plans about what to do with your February allocation if there isn't any money in March? We're at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. David Lee is executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. That's a statewide association of the Feeding America food banks, providing more than 750 agencies and 1,000 local food programs throughout the state. David, welcome to the Ideas Network.
So good to be with you this morning.
Well, let's start with the shutdown on day 34 here, which is really about federal workers missing paychecks and not being able to make ends meet and being able to meet those basic living necessities, which include food. What options are there if families are in these circumstances right now?
Sure. So for the folks who are being affected by the shutdown, who need food, I would say that our network has been around for the last, 40 or so years, ensuring that people who are in these temporary straits have the nutritious food they need to be able to work, learn, and live healthy lives. And if anybody is out there who is being affected by the shutdown, they ought to call 211 to get connected to a local food pantry or some other services that they might be eligible for.
How do food banks here in Wisconsin prepare to make sure they're ready to deal with the crisis, whether it's people not getting paid during a shutdown or a natural disaster?
Sure. So our food banks do this work every day. They reach out to donors. They're ensuring that they have enough food supplies, fund supplies, volunteers to have the food ready for our food pantries to be able to order and get and stock their shelves so that people in local communities can get the food that they need. So I would say that this temporary shutdown, hopefully, is no different than a flood that some of the floods that we saw in southern Western Wisconsin last summer or earlier this fall, or an earthquake or some other natural disaster, right? And I think what's this larger picture that you were talking about with Dr. Halperin Meekin earlier is that we are also serving over 550,000 people every day already, right? So this temporary increase let me walk that back a little bit and say that, anybody who is dealing with food insecurity is dealing with a crisis in their homes every day, right? But this, temporary increase is we can rise to meet this need. I think the thing that we're a little bit concerned about is what happens when the food share benefit, what happens to the food share benefit in March? That becomes sort of a different question for us.
So the food share benefits, which are currently in flux during the shutdown, that is Wisconsin's food stamp program, which may feel the effects of prolonged shutdown. In January, the USDA announced it would pay February food share benefits. How does this work?
Yeah, so this is actually very interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. So in Wisconsin, the food share benefit is dispersed over the first 15 days of the month, depending on the last digit of your Social Security number. USDA in January announced that February benefits would be dispersed on January 20th, on or around January 20th. So people in the listening area who are on food share ought to check their EBT cards to make sure that they've gotten their February benefits loaded. Now, there's this really interesting sort of side effect of this, right? I mean, it is very possible that somebody who got their January benefit on January 15th got their February benefit on or around January 20th, which means that they're going to have to budget and stretch those food share dollars over the course of over a month to get to March 15th, hopefully when the shutdown is over, to have benefits, their March benefits on their food share card. Now, of course, as you mentioned as well, the guidance that USDA and the states have been given is that potentially there may not be March benefits due to this extended government shutdown.
If that's the case and there are not March benefits, what do you see happening for these families?
I think if there are no March benefits, we're going to have a lot bigger fish to fry, right? To give you a sense of scale, our network of food banks last year provided somewhere on the order of $90 million worth of food. That's a lot of food to a lot of people. And the work of our local volunteers and our staff is incredible, right? The food share benefit provides about $75 million worth in grocery and buying benefits to our state of Wisconsin every month. So, you know, while we can absorb the temporary increase somewhere on the order of, you know, tens of thousands of people coming into our system to get the food they need, if the food share benefit is not funded in March, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, right? And that's not really a thing we can prepare for.
We're hearing reports of pop-up food banks in Washington, D.C. We're hearing about federal agencies contacting the Houston Food Bank, asking to get distribution trucks to go to furloughed workers. Are food banks expected to be more accessible during the shutdown and meet workers where they are? Are you seeing anything like this happening in Wisconsin?
Not yet. But I suspect if the shutdown continues and our network gets asked, our food banks will definitely do everything in their power to meet the needs in local communities. I think in some of these areas that you mentioned, you know, Maryland, Houston, there's a high proportion. There's a lot of federal workers in our state. It's somewhere on the order of 20,000-25,000 people, largely concentrated in two or three counties. So, you know, we're seeing our current system as it's currently working. We believe we'll be able to absorb that temporary increase. Now, again, if this continues on for a while, and if these federal agencies reach out to our food banks, our food banks will do whatever they can to be able to meet the need. And this is something, again, they've been doing for the last 40 years in the context of all manner of temporary disruptions, local factory closures, disasters, floods, you name it.
Talking with David Lee, he's Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. You can join in with your circumstances, your thoughts on this situation as people need food. Do you rely on Wisconsin's food share program? Have you gotten a letter saying that your March allocation of food benefits is $0? Have you been making plans about what to do with your February allocation if there isn't money in March? Let us know what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. David Lee, can people still submit food share applications during a shutdown? How does the processing work?
Yeah, so currently our state is still accepting food share applications. The program is operating as normal for now. It's just an open question as to whether or not March benefits will be paid. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that happens, right? We believe that USDA has wide latitude in making sure that the benefit is dispersed. But of course, you know, without a budget and without appropriations, that question it continues to be open, unfortunately. And I think if I may just really quickly just note that in the history of the food stamps program, since its inception in the 1960s, there has never been a disruption of benefits, not in times of war, not in times of recession. And this is a man-made thing that's happening. And it requires is for folks to come together, to work together across the aisle to end this.
Beyond the shutdown, what does food insecurity look like in Wisconsin?
Sure. So in our state, we have somewhere on the order of 600,000 people who are food insecure. And that's a technical term that we otherwise know as hunger, right? People who may not know where their next meal is coming from. 600,000 people is a lot, but we are at the lowest point of pure numbers of people who are food insecure in our state since about 2009. So the trends are going in the right direction. The work that we've been doing, the economy getting better, all these things are going in the right direction. And it's really unfortunate that the shutdown has really put a lot of the positive trends that we have been working on into jeopardy. And I think that's really the sad truth here, right, is that we've been slowly turning the ship around, and suddenly we have this incredible disruption that, you know, not only affects the federal workers who are furloughed, but if you think about the cascading effects of what happens if the food share benefit is not funded in March, I mean, in all of grocery, right, food share redemptions that amount to about 10% of all grocery redemptions, all grocery sales. That's a lot of money that's not going into the local economies. It's not making sure that that food manufacturers are manufacturing food. Food's not being bought. Truckers aren't being utilized to move food. I mean, this is not just a couple people not getting their monthly food benefit.
When you look at the trends on food insecurity, do families, do people fall in and out of food insecurity, or once they have the food they need and they are able to sustain themselves, that they never fall back, if you will?
Yeah, that's a great question. So food insecurity, as you know, is a temporary condition, right? I mean, people fall in and out. Typically, typically, food insecure family is food insecure about three quarters of the year, you know, and it happens depending on how many hours they might work that month, or how much they might be making, or whether or not they lose a job for a couple weeks before they get another one. So it's a temporary thing, but it's definitely connected to how much money they're able to make and how many hours they're working on any given month.
Talking about food agencies, food insecurity with David Lee. He heads up Feeding Wisconsin. We're gathering your perspectives and your stories on food insecurity at 800-642-1234. Do you consider yourself to be food insecure? What does that look like for you? And what would need to happen to get to food security? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the discussion in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're talking about food bank reserves and how food distribution programs are managing during this government shutdown as federal workers are about to miss another paycheck tomorrow. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Feeding America has a search tool to find local food banks at feedingamerica.org. Do you rely on Wisconsin's food share program? What concerns you as you look at federal workers and being furloughed? Are you making contingency plans? Do you consider yourself to be food insecure? And what do you need to move into food security? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. David Lee stays with us. He's executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. David, how are inventories doing at food banks around the state as you look, and what are the your chains doing in terms of the warehouses and the retailers, and do you feel like your supply chain is doing okay there?
Yeah, so right now our supply chain is fine. You know, like I said earlier, this is work that we've always been doing, and we are always going out to get more food to ensure that people in living throughout our state who are food insecure have the access to the nutritious food they need to be able to work, learn, and live healthy lives. I think, again, if we are going to be talking about what our supply chains are going to look like if the food share benefit isn't funded in March, that's a completely different question, right? And I think the challenges that our supply chains are going to face are physical, right? I mean, it's not the fact that there's not enough food out there. There's plenty of food in our state and across the nation to be able to go out and get. But when you think about the physical limitations of our network, you begin to see the challenges that we're facing, right? If you think about a typical food bank, it has a couple hundred pallet spaces that it uses to store and stage food. Each one of those pallets holds about 1,000 pounds of food. So on any given food bank, there's probably space to store a couple hundred thousand pounds of food. All of that food has to be touched, sorted, staged, put away, picked, and then distributed. And so when you talk about, so our supply chain works great in serving the amount of folks that are currently in our system. But when you double the amount of people who are in need or who are coming back three or four times because they don't have their food share benefit. I mean, it's going to be a real challenge for us to be able to actually move and store and distribute the food.
What kind of support do food banks need from the community?
Yeah, you know, our food banks survive on the generosity of our great donors and the generosity of our volunteers. We wouldn't be able to operate without them. And thanks to their generosity, we're able to rise to meet this need right now as the need currently stands. However, folks are interested to get involved. Reach out to your local food pantry because, you know, they might not need you now, but they might need you at some point, right, to volunteer to give your time or funds. People can find out if they can organize a food or fund drive at our local food banks. Our food banks, actually, part of what they're doing to prepare, they're putting out extra volunteer shifts so that people can sort more food, so that we have more reserves. I mean, we're doing things to ramp up. And we need people, the fine people in Wisconsin to reach out to their food banks and get involved. And they can find out ways to get involved. They can find out about where their local food bank is on our website at feedingwisconsin.org.
Churches also used to, and certainly still do today, have lots of suppers and also serve a need. What is the role of churches today?
Churches, our network would not operate without the fine Wisconsin men and women who are volunteering at churches, right? Over, I think, about two-thirds of our network are made up of church pantries and church meal programs. So they are in local communities. The vast majority of our food pantry network are operated out of churches and local communities across the state. So their work is incredibly vital. And we wouldn't be able to serve the need without them.
So looking at this food insecurity, perhaps a more existential question I was thinking about in preparing for this conversation, will we get to a day where we'll put you out of business, where we will not need food banks? Will we get to a day of ending hunger in the U.S.?
I would love that. So that's actually funny, right? That's the question that keeps me up at night every night. So our vision is a healthy and hunger-free Wisconsin, and we believe that we will be able to achieve that vision within my lifetime. But I don't think that means that food banks and food pantries are going to go out of business. I think what that means is that everybody in our state, everybody in the nation, will be able to have easy access to the food or benefits they need to be able to live a healthy life, right? I mean, I think when you think about what food insecurity looks like in our state and in our nation, it's really that people don't have enough money to be able to meet all of their basic needs, right? And there will always be people who might not have enough money. And I'm talking about folks who just can't work, right? And I think that's historically the population we've served, right? We've served people who are elderly and people who are disabled, folks that we don't expect to work and who also don't have enough social benefits to be able to obtain all of the basic needs that they need to sustain a healthy life. I think we can, I think a more useful thought, right, is not whether or not food banks or food pantries are going to go out of business completely, but what is the right size for our network in local communities and what is the right scope of work, right? We have, since the Great Recession, have begun to serve a lot more folks who are working but who are not making enough money or not working enough hours. And that, you know, I might say probably shouldn't be in our bailiwick, right? That shouldn't be the core of who we're serving. And so I think when we think about those existential questions, I think it's really incumbent upon us to really begin to envision what kind of society that we want.
We're seeing people who are applying for food benefits who have never done this before and during this shutdown, and who feel a sense of guilt, a sense of shame.
Yeah.
Talk us through that.
So the stigma of people who either are applying for food share or coming to our services is very real. We did a consumer insights project over the late summer and early fall And we learned, we spoke to about 100 people in communities across the state, clients, and the stigma that they feel is very, very real. And I think my mouth sort of hit the ground when Dr. Halpern Meakin earlier said that, you know, the people who are the working poor, right, they're really all of us. And I think that's the one thing that I really want people to really hear and internalize, right? That like the people who are food insecure, the folks who are applying for food share, the folks who are coming into our system, they are all of us. They are us, right? They are our friends and neighbors. And we really ought to be taking care of them without judgment and ensuring that they have just the very basic needs so that they can get on about the work of making sure that their families have enough to eat.
In the last minute we have with you, what are you watching moving forward when it comes to those in need because of the partial government shutdown and as winter continues here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we are watching for whether or not this shutdown ends. There are going to be two votes today in D.C. that will hopefully set up a path forward for the shutdown ending that'll deal with the sort of immediate need that we are seeing, and hopefully that'll deal with the food share question in March. I think we're making sure that all of our food banks and food pantries have enough food to make sure that it's going to get cold, right? So we want to make sure that folks who are really either out of doors or otherwise need food have the resources so that they can make it through this first cold snap. And we hope that this government shutdown ends sooner rather than later, so we can continue to keep those trends going in the right direction for food insecurity.
David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
David Lee is Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. He joined us to consider what effects the shutdown is having on hunger relief organizations. Earlier, we talked about the stress on families living paycheck to paycheck. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.